from KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Grape Bar Sports Open Line.
Those mid swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Grape Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go, here we go, here we go. Let's go.
On a Friday night, we welcome you in. It's time for a Grape Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Happy for a full two-hour edition of the program tonight. We'll spend a lot of time together this evening as we've got Sports Open Line, and then we've got Cardinals baseball coverage starting at 8:20, first pitch at 9:15. We'll see what time we're going to be wrapping up the post-game show tonight. I'll still be there for the post. It might be 1 o'clock in the morning. I will still be there to take your phone calls, your text messages, and your tweets after the game tonight. So about 7 hours from now, if you want to reconvene with me for Cardinals postgame, you certainly can do that. But we've got a lot to get to before we even get to that point. As always, if you do want to join in on what we've got going on today, you can call, text, or tweet. Calling, texting, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, or you can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. And that's how you get at me. Got a couple things I want to get to today. We've got two guests lined up. Our first guest is going to be in about 20 minutes. Blair Kirchhoff, great sports columnist with the Kansas City Stars, going to join us. He's been on the program many times. We'll talk Chiefs football with him. We'll also talk a little bit about what the Royals have been able to do this year, which is pretty impressive. But the vast majority of our program today is going to be centered around the report that was published earlier today on The Athletic. Just fantastic reporting by Katie Wu of The Athletic as she spoke with a number of people with the Cardinals, Cardinals staffers, most of which spoke to her anonymously, but it did really give kind of an overview of what's going on in the organization and what is leading to the issues of why this team has not been winning as much recently as they did previously. I really appreciated what Katie wrote. Katie is going to join us in about an hour and 7 minutes. 7:20 is when Katie is going to join us on the program. And we'll get some thoughts from her on what she wrote and also some of the reaction. Because if you're on social media, this has been the story of the day on social media. And I threw out a question, by the way. And if you're on Twitter, this is the best way to get at me on this. So based off everything that came out earlier today, and we'll dive in a little deeper than this, but I'll just throw this out now in case you want to chime in, because we're going to be reading a lot of the responses that I got to this question later on. If the Cardinals focus on fixing some infrastructure issues that exist in the organization, staffing at the minor league level, the use of technology, they are far behind on that, other things that help the player development system and help guys become the best version of themselves, which is a term I use all the time. You probably get sick of me saying it. If the Cardinals were to spend this offseason putting almost all of their attention into that, and it results in the roster next year being really a bunch of young guys, that they don't add a lot in terms of established major leaguers from what is already going to be there. Maybe even they move on from some of the established major leaguers that are already there. But if they are clear and concise and transparent about it, can you accept that? Would you be, you know, not that it's a rebuild, but certainly reset is the word that we keep hearing over and over and over and over. If it is a true reset and it results in maybe them taking a step back next season, but a lot of young players playing, assuming that that is communicated to you as fans, are you okay with that? And if you are or not, feel free to hop on Twitter, at Matt Pauly on air, and tweet at me. I put that question out, so if you want to reply to that question, it's been quite the response. I've already got 44 responses to that. Put that up not that long ago. So we'll probably won't read all 44, but we'll read a lot of them coming up later on. It's really a good jumping off point for this conversation. I'm going to ask you to have an open mind on something. and this is not me being a honk for Oliver Marmol. If you listen to this show, if you listen to my Cardinals postgame shows, you know where I stand on Oliver Marmol. I think he's a good manager. I don't think he's the problem. Okay. There's a lot of people who disagree with me. That's your right to disagree with me. And I even understand why you disagree with me. We're not having that argument today. There's bigger fish to fry in terms of our conversation today. But where I would ask you to have an open mind is based off, I've long said, and I just said it again, I've long said, the issues in this organization are so beyond the scope of Oliver Marmol. It goes way beyond that. And I think I would be hopeful. You don't have to believe everything I say. You don't have to agree with everything I say. Life would be pretty boring if we all just agreed with each other. So it's not my job to get you to agree with me. It's my job to get you to understand why I say what I say. And it's, at the same time, it's my job to understand why you say what you say if you disagree with me. It's a two-way street. So I would ask you to have an open mind on this, because there's going to be a lot of people out there who scoff at the idea that having more advanced technology that's available to minor leaguers, that having more roving coaches to jump around from minor league team to minor league team and work as an instructor. There are going to be a lot of people that scoff at the idea that those type of things really impact winning and losing at the major league level. There's going to be people who think you win and lose at the major league level by your manager making decisions, by free agent signings, by things like that. That everything that happens at the big league level kind of happens in its own filter, own funnel, whatever word you want to use. And it doesn't work that way. In some places, it can work that way. In some really big marketplaces, it can work that way. If your system is not providing impact players, you've got the ability to go out and just fix it by signing a check. Yeah, that happens. We could even argue that it could happen in St. Louis. I don't know if they're ever going to spend that kind of money, but I've never had a problem with the amount of money the Cardinals spend. I think they spend a perfectly legitimate amount of money on the major league roster. When people complain about the amount of money that's being spent on the major league roster, I never completely and totally understand it. Again, it's not that they can't spend more, but do they need to spend more? My argument is that no, they don't need to spend more. I'm fine if they do. Go ahead. Like, if you want to go spend a bunch of money on the major league roster, that's awesome. Not against it. They don't have to. They have to spend their money a little bit smarter. When you think about the amount of money just next year that are owed to players like Miles Michaelis and Steven Matz, who have not helped produce a whole lot of wins, that's a problem. There have been some bad contracts that have been given out at the major league level. But more importantly, what can you do to have these players more major league ready when they get here? Why do the Milwaukee Brewers have success? Why do the Tampa Bay Rays have success? And I know this year is a little bit of a down year for Tampa. They're a little bit below 500. But generally speaking, the Rays have been incredibly successful with playoff wins. Why have the Rays been so successful? Before the Oakland A's just decided that they wanted to burn their place down, why were they so successful? It's because of the desire and the dedication to do things right in scouting, development, drafting, and then making sure that once guys get to the big league roster, they are put in positions and given every bit of information to be able to make themselves the best version of themselves. And that hasn't been happening with the Cardinals. And based off what I read today from Katie Wu, I think that's going to start happening. I think they're going to start getting on that path to that happening. So have an open mind on this. Have an open mind, because people who think that the stuff that's happening in the organization and, you know, using numbers and analytics and using technology and building a pitching lab and doing all those things, there's people who think that those are nice things, but there's ways to overcome not really being great in that areas, and you can still be successful at the big league level, and the focus needs to be on the major league roster, not the other stuff. I'd push back. And I'm excited about what we've heard today on this Katie Wu report. So I'll give you some more details on it. I want you to be, I don't want to take away, and we're going to talk to her again in about an hour. And I don't want to like read the thing verbatim, that you go subscribe to The Athletic and read it for yourself, because she did amazing work. And the way, it's journalism at its best. And if you are able to support it, I would say support it by subscribing to The Athletic. But we will go through some of the details coming up in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Gathered on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, continuing to take you through this Friday evening, have you till 8 o'clock, and then have you again for Cardinals baseball with our coverage starting at about 8:20 this evening. Look, we're going to spend the vast majority, almost all of this program is going to be dedicated to what was reported today by Katie Wu in The Athletic. Hopefully you are a subscriber to The Athletic and have been able to read the report yourself. We will take one pause from this conversation in our next segment when Blair Kirchhoff, who is a sports columnist with the Kansas City Star, will join us to talk a couple things going on in Kansas City. I want to talk about the Royals a bit. They've had a really nice season. They will be a playoff team, and it's just been good to see what they have been able to do. What can we learn from what the Royals have done this season? So we will get into that with Blair Kirchhoff. We'll talk a little Chiefs football with him. But outside of that, and the Royals have not quite clinched a playoff spot, but they are very close to being able to do so. Outside of that, we're going to spend most of the time today talking about this report from Katie Wu. For those of you who have not read it, I want to read some of the quotes. And again, whenever I'm discussing a piece of journalism that is behind a paywall, like The Athletic is, I'm always concerned about giving too much away, because I appreciate the work so much that people do. And man, Katie Wu, to put this together is absolutely fantastic, and to be able to talk to the people that she spoke to. And again, almost everybody that she spoke to, she gave anonymity to so that they would be able to speak openly. So I'm just going to read some of the quotes from anonymous team staffers just to give you an idea of what some of the things are being said by people who are inside the walls there, and why it is so important that they start to dismantle, reset, and rebuild what they are doing from a player development system standpoint, and why that is going to result in this team being able to get back on track and being the winning organization that we are used to them being. One team employee said to Katie, "We're in trouble. This is not easily fixable within the next year or year after. This is going to take some time." Another quote, "I don't know how this was blanked up so bad over the last few years." Another person, "People would always ask in the minors, do you care about winning or do you care about developing players? The answer would be, we develop winning players. We are no longer developing winning players." That is a quote from an anonymous person. Elsewhere, one staffer, when talking about the player development system, "It's broken. Our system is broken in a way. How it got there, I don't know." Another staffer, or maybe the same staffer, I don't know how many people she spoke with, but another quote, "When guys get to the majors, they're not ready. They have so many warts that have to get taken care of in the big leagues." Says you can't cut yourself thin and expect 2 to 3 guys to cover all those areas. This is in discussion about not having enough staff at the minor league level. And the point was actually made that the Cardinals have just a handful of basically roving instructors, where teams like the Brewers have 15 or more. One of the quotes, "You can't cut yourself thin and expect 2 to 3 guys to cover all those areas. It's hurting our minor leagues. It kills you not having guys individually going into cities, specifically focusing on areas of the game to tell guys to get better. A manager can only do so much within the course of the season. That's what coordinators are for, to be able to scour the system and hold people accountable, hold coaches accountable for teaching, hold players accountable for doing the work and executing. To leave it up to one guy, that's not fair to him. The one guy being Jose Oquendo, who does incredible work in the organization, but clearly could use some help. Another quote, it's a lack of resources. It's also the game itself, the way it's changed, is pushing these kids through the system, and then they've got, and then they're getting put into positions they shouldn't be in. It's detrimental to them because they get up here and they fail. Another quote, they're making mistakes that should have been fixed already, or they make a mistake that should have been fixed and they make it again and again and again. That's the stuff that should happen in the minor leagues. That's what the minor leagues are for. Another quote, we've gotten ourselves into a cycle. So that's what people inside the organization are saying right now. And I think there's a couple examples here. And again, we'll revisit this during much of the show today. The Cardinals don't have a roving outfield coordinator, roving outfield coach. So when Jordan Walker was sent to AAA, they had the coaching staff with Memphis, but they didn't have an individual who focused specifically on working with outfielders. They didn't have somebody that they could go park in Memphis for a few weeks and work with him every day, the way Willie McGee is working with him right now at the big league level. But he spent months at AAA Memphis, and he didn't have that. How much better? We saw him really struggle defensively yesterday. How much better would Jordan Walker be defensively if he would have had somebody working with him in the minor leagues on an everyday basis beyond just the coaching staff? That's what other organizations do. Ivan Herrera is somebody else who is widely mentioned in Katie's story. And they don't have a roving catching instructor, which is crazy. Crazy. Now, when Yadier Molina was around, I guess you didn't need it. Still would have been nice to have. But they don't have a roving catching instructor. So Ivan Herrera gets injured. Pedro Páez gets to the big league level. He does a really nice job. So when Herrera's healthy again, they just send him to Memphis. Would have been nice to have a guy down there to work with him every single day. Work hard with him every single day. Help him become a better defensive catcher. Yeah, there's guys on the coaching staff at Memphis who can do that, but nobody who's locked in and focused on that being their individual role. So it's things like that. So that's where it impacts the big leagues. How much better are the Cardinals if Ivan Herrera is a really good defensive catcher? No disrespect meant to Pedro Páez, but Herrera's bat plays at the big league level. If you got that bat, that impacts you. So that's where this year impacts you. How much more comfortable are you with Jordan Walker if you're more comfortable with who he is defensively? And these are just two examples, and they go on and on. So we'll pause from this conversation for a moment. Blair Kirkhoff from the Kansas City Star is going to join us, and then we're going to get back into this. The text messages, the tweets, they are flowing in. We'll start looking at those coming up later on. And again, Katie Wu is going to join us to discuss this coming up at 7:20. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, as you just heard with that promo. We are your home for Kansas City Chiefs football in St. Louis as they are set to match up against the Chargers. That's going to be a 3:25 kickoff coming up on Sunday, and our coverage will begin immediately following coverage of Cardinals baseball as they'll wrap up the season on Sunday when they take on San Francisco. Right now, we're very happy to welcome on to the program. You read him in the Kansas City Star. He is Blair Kirkhoff. You follow him on Twitter at Blair, KERKHOFF. Blair, thanks for taking the time. Welcome back on to KMOX.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for the plug.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start by talking. We'll get to the Chiefs in a second, but I want to talk about the Royals because they are on the verge of clinching a playoff spot. It's not quite locked in the last I saw, but this has been an incredible story because they got off to a great start, but I don't think many people thought that they were going to keep it going. And even though they fell off a little bit, they've been able to stay basically in playoff position the vast majority of the season. What led to this kind of turnaround for the Royals?
Well, it started with a great offseason. Acquisitions like Seth Lugo and Mike Waka, as St. Louis fans are very familiar with, It started previous season when they got Cole Reagans in a trade for Chapman, the relief pitcher, Aroldis Chapman, excuse me. And then the emergence of Bobby Witt Jr. has been major this year. He came off a very nice 2023, and he's putting up an epic 2024. Probably will finish second in the MVP voting to Aaron Judge. But a lot of things came together for him this year, and you're right, they reversed a season. They were 106 losses last year. They're at 85 victories, and magic numbers won with the Twins. So they win one of these games against the Braves. The Twins lose one against the Orioles, and the Orioles are going to the playoffs. Nobody around here really believes it.
It's been fun watching these three teams in Kansas City, Detroit, and Minnesota go after two playoff spots, because those three teams all from the AL Central, they're all battling out for these playoff spots, even though it's not for the top spot in the AL Central. And we've seen Kansas City kind of tread water, Detroit just surge, and then Minnesota's really just fallen off.
That's right. You described it well. Detroit has played so well down the stretch. Great August and September. They are a hot team. They're a team I wouldn't want to see in the playoffs. Minnesota is falling apart at the seams, playing terrible baseball. And the Royals have endured a pair of seven-game losing streaks since the All-Star break, and still are this close to their first postseason appearance since the World Series team of 2015. It's been a long time. It's been since that long, really, since we've had meaningful baseball in Kansas City in September. It's just been a blast.
I want to put you on the spot a little bit on this, because the major story in St. Louis today was a report that came out written by Katie Wu of The Athletic about the Cardinals player development system and how it is lacking in such a big way, and how that has resulted in the disappointing results of recent years. Can you speak a little bit to the player development system in Kansas City and what they have in place and how much confidence there is in them being able to develop major league ready players?
Well, that's a good question. I think before this season, you would have questioned it. It was, like I said, it was a lot of the success of this season really is contingent on the acquisitions that were made, some trades, some free agent signings, and not so much player development. In fact, the Royals farm system, not so much. They're not highly rated at all in baseball. That's kind of been a hole for the organization over the last few years. But Bobby Witt did come out of this, came up from the draft, and Vinny Pasquantino also came up through the draft and through development. So there have been some success stories, but it's funny when you compare the Cardinals and the Royals. People in Kansas City have been so envious of the consistency of the St. Louis organization for year after year after year. It just seems like the Cardinals are in contention, and more often than not, seemingly a postseason team, while the Royals are, they're out of it by August, and you're looking for the next bobblehead night to see when you're going to go to the ballpark. It's different to hear, there's some angst in St. Louis about this, and Kansas City on the verge of a playoff appearance.
It's bizarre world right now, for sure, and it's probably the last thing that my listeners want to hear me talking about, but it is the world that we're living in right now, and we're not shying away from it. All right, the Chiefs are 3-0, but they're playing with fire every single week. It's been close every single week. Something happens kind of crazy that helps them find a way to win. When you're talented, when you have good coaching, the breaks tend to go your way, but at the same time, it really feels like they got to start putting maybe a better effort on the field.
Exactly. And it starts with Patrick Mahomes, believe it or not. He said as much this week. He really has put put the burden on his shoulders about why they're not playing better. But there's a lot of teams in the NFL, all but like four others, that would love to have the record that the Chiefs have. But and the fact that they've beaten the Ravens in the opening game, who they beat in the AFC title game a year ago, and the Bengals in week two, which is a nemesis for them over the last few years, and then winning in Atlanta on Sunday Night Football, a team that a lot of people think can win their division. There's got to be some level of satisfaction with what's been accomplished. But I think with with the Chiefs, there's a sense of they can be much better than what they've showed here. That Patrick Mahomes, who has you know, five touchdown passes and four interceptions, including one in each of the first three games, you know, poised to make his 100th start on Sunday at L.A., still has all the records for quarterbacks in their first 100 games, and he's done it through 99. So I think Chiefs fans are just they're okay with where they are because of the record, and there's a sense that things can be better, and they hope it starts on Sunday.
I want to punch myself for asking this question, but is Taylor Swift Travis Kelce's Yoko Ono?
It's funny. We talked to Travis today. He avails himself one day a week to the beat writers, people that cover the Chiefs, and he would spit on the ground before he admitted anything like that. He turns 35 a week from Sunday, I think it is. There's no doubt that the fact that he's been in the league for 12 years, he plays a position that's demanding, that where he gets a lot of punishment week after week. There's no doubt that that's had an impact on him. But I think there's a few things going on with him, that the reason he only has 8 receptions for 69 yards, and that is Mahomes has been uneven in his play, and the Chiefs' offense has been uneven. So defenses are playing, they're playing deep. They're playing the cover two. They're giving the Chiefs the middle of the field and they're playing a little bit of softness in the middle. Should be something that the Chiefs should be able to exploit and Kelce should be able to exploit. But those are going to Rashee Rice, the wide receiver, who's had an excellent season. Has 24 receptions. He's running the routes that Kelce used to run, and Kelce's getting the attention that would go to a number one wide receiver. So I think he's going to be okay. And I know fantasy folks don't hate seeing the production that he's had so far this year. He's not going to have the numbers he's had in the past. I think he'll be there in the most important times. And he played his best ball a year ago in the postseason. So I would not be surprised if that was the case this year, that he just sort of just moseys along throughout the regular season, maybe has a 60 or 70 catch season, and then come playoff time, it's the Travis Kelce that we've all known.
Is this running back group, is this wide receiver group good enough to make this offense look the way it has looked in recent years? Maybe not so much last year, but years before that?
Yeah, that's what we all thought going into the season. That the addition of Hollywood Brown with Xavier Worthy, the number one, the first round draft pick, they would go into this season and just basically replace or replicate the speed that they showed in the Tyreek Hill years in Kansas City. But then Hollywood Brown injures himself on the first play of the preseason. And is basically gone for the year. If he comes back at all, it would be in late December, early January. And Xavier Worthy's a rookie, and it just takes rookies an extended amount of time to get comfortable in the Andy Reid system. So basically what they're left with is kind of the same wide receiver lineup as they had a year ago with Rashee Rice, who, again, is having a terrific year, and he's a year better. He's been great. Justin Watson, Mecole Hardman, Sky Moore, kind of the same familiar names that the Chiefs fans remember from a year ago. And look, it turned out okay at the end for the Chiefs with an offense that wasn't, the high flying, aerial act of 2018, 2019, 2020. It ended well for the Chiefs. I think they're in store for some of that again this year with some improvement. Again, the big thing is Rice being a year better. Tell you what, though, if he gets hurt, they could be in a world of trouble.
Blair Kirkhoff is an excellent sports writer. You read him at the Kansas City Star, at Blair Kirkhoff on Twitter. Blair, thanks for the time. I'm sure we'll talk again down the line.
Enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Very good. Blair Kirkhoff joining us here on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Just a few minutes left here in hour number one of the program. In hour number two, we are going to pretty much do all Cardinals and jump back into what was reported earlier today by Katie Wu, her just fantastic piece of journalism that ran inside of The Athletic, talking with anonymous staffers from the Cardinals about the changes that are coming. And we knew the changes were coming. John Mozeliak was on with Tom Ackerman this past Sunday, and he discussed how the month of October is largely going to be committed to resetting some things in the front office. And we haven't even mentioned, there was so much in this piece by Katie, and she's going to join us in about 25 minutes, and we'll get some more thoughts from her on it. But one of the things that did come out in it is that Chaim Bloom, who has been working for the team as an advisor, is going to come on in a full-time role, and he is going to oversee essentially the implementation of the player development reset. Now, I say all that, I want to continue to reiterate the fact that the reporting done with Katie, I believe 100% of it, and I think everything she said is going to play out from a journalistic standpoint. It has not yet been confirmed by the Cardinals. We just have to wait on that. I think it will be, and I think we are likely to have a press conference with the team coming up on Monday. I think that is the likely result. That's not guaranteed. Maybe they wait a little bit. Maybe there are some ducks that they need to get in a row before they feel like they can announce everything that they do want to announce. Maybe there are some exit interviews that they want to have take place. But and look, I've got all these tweets coming at me over the last hour and a half where I threw some things out and wanted to get responses, and we'll read through a lot of those coming up next hour. One of the things I'm hearing over and over and over is that a good percentage of Cardinals fans, at least the ones who are commenting on some of the questions that I threw out on social media, a good percent of Cardinals fans are ready to support this team, even if the big league team maybe takes a step back, as long as there is transparency, as long as it is communicated to the fan base exactly what's going to take place, and maybe even what growing pains to exist as a new system is put in place. And I think that's important, and I'm hopeful that when we do get word from the Cardinals that, again, transparency is a word you're going to hear, that there is just a ton of transparency, because I think in many ways that's going to make the fan base feel a little bit better. All right, we'll start hearing your comments. We'll do that after the 7 o'clock news. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Get it on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Into the second hour of the program. We got a lot of time together, though, tonight, really probably into tomorrow morning. Cardinals baseball tonight. First pitch in San Francisco, 9:15. So we're still over an hour away from our coverage of Cardinals baseball. And then, I'll have you in the postgame show. And if you want, you know what? If it's 1 o'clock in the morning and you want to talk Cardinals baseball, I'll be here for you. I'll be here. We are going to spend this hour going through much of what was reported by Katie Wu. In fact, Katie is going to join us. I want to throw this out. This is, I guess this is for anybody, but it is specifically for folks who have read Katie's story. So you're an Athletic subscriber or somebody got it to you, whatever it might be. If you've read it and you have further questions that you're curious about, you can text them in. And depending on how the conversation goes with Katie, I'll try to work them in, because, I mean, she had so much in there. And I know I certainly had some further questions, and that's what we're going to get into. So if you read what Katie reported and you've got some questions beyond what was in her reporting, you can text them in at 314-436-7900. And depending on the direction the conversation goes, I might be able to work those in with Katie coming up in just a few moments. So here's what I wanted to do. So somebody, I tweeted, so it all comes together. I tweeted something about Jordan Walker yesterday and his last 12 games. And I gave his numbers over his last 12 games, because he had an okay offensive day yesterday, not a very good day in the field. We know that. But I tweeted out just his numbers in his last 12 games. They're not great, but they're not bad. In his last 12 games, I tweeted this in the middle of the game yesterday, so there may be an at-bat or two from yesterday missing from these numbers, but through two at-bats, last 12 games of yesterday, his average was .250, not great, but a lot better than it was earlier. Three home runs, four doubles, nine RBIs, .877 OPS, the .877 OPS, that's great. take that. If you can get an 877 OPS out of Jordan Walker, it doesn't matter what his batting average is, you will take that over and over and over and over and over again. So if I get the last 12 games worth of production from Jordan Walker over every 12 games moving forward, it may not reach the expectations we had for him as he was a top prospect coming up, but it's a guy that you can put in your order, and it's a guy that's going to drive in runs. And at this point, I'll take that. So I posted those numbers. Honestly, part of the reason I posted the numbers was because he had this thumbs up during the Bally Sports broadcast, and I thought it was a very, like, memeable photo, and I wanted to tweet out the photo of it, so I found something to write about Jordan Walker just so I could tweet out the photo, and it kind of blew up on me because that's when I think I have a great tweet with great information, nobody sees the dang thing, and when I'm just trying to find a reason to tweet a photo out, it can blow up on me a little bit, and that's what happened yesterday. So one of the people that responded said, let him play. Let all the kids play. Trade Arenado and Contreras. Let Goldie walk. Keep Herrera and play him and have Páez backup. Okay, so then we get to today, and the Katie Wu report comes out. And part of Katie's reporting is that next year, it could be a year where there's a youth movement on the big league roster, where they don't do a whole lot in free agency this year, where the focus of the organization is on fixing the player development system. And not that they are going to punt on next year, but it's going to be a year where they're really going to focus in on the youth movement. So I asked a question on Twitter, and I said, if the team decides to, quote, let the kids play, and I, quote, tweeted that tweet that I mentioned ago, next year while beginning the process of fixing the infrastructure issues that plague the organization, will you be accepting of a season where the win-loss record leaves something to be desired? And to the credit of the people who follow along with me or follow along with that KMOX Sports on Twitter, I got a lot of reaction to this. So let's go through some of the things that were said. So one person says, yes, 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 all things yes. So there, and I, it wasn't, look, there are a lot of different opinions that are represented in these responses. But I do feel like I'd have to go through all the responses and, like, catalog them on what category or where, you know, if they're positive or negative on it. But I do feel like, at least based off the social media reaction, as I always like to remind you, the what's said on social media does not always represent what is felt in real life. You know, the penetration of Twitter doesn't represent the real world. So just because there's one point that is out there a lot on social media, that doesn't mean that it represents the entire fan base. But I think it's something like this. It's interesting. I also got a lot of... So Kevin tweeted at me and said, only if John Mozeliak is gone. I understand why people feel that way. I understand the unhappiness with John Mozeliak. I do. Like... There. In many ways, it makes sense because he is the head decision maker, and the team has stagnated. So when I sit here and tell you all the time that this is not Oliver Marmol's fault, that the issues go deeper than that, that it's issues within the organization. Where does that go? Like, where does the buck stop? So when people are critical of John Mozeliak and his culpability and what's going on, I understand that. I understand where you're coming from. I would say this though. This is where the idea of people, how do I say, I want to, what doesn't make any sense is if I am asking you, are you willing to let the big league team not have the kind of success that you'd like it to have, if you are willing to let the kids play, if you're willing to have all these things happen next year where the organization focuses on player development. And if the organization focusing on player development is led by Heim Bloom, and he reportedly is going to make the hire for farm director. So if all the heavy lifting in the organization is focused on player development, and there's not as much heavy lifting when it comes to the major league roster, it's a lot of letting younger players play and go through their struggles and things like that, then what is the consequence of having John Mozeliak? If John Mozeliak's kind of washing his hands of the player development stuff, which is going to be the big change that is happening, and again, if that's truly going to be oversaw by Heim Bloom, and he's going to have autonomy in making those decisions, if that's what's going to happen, then there's no significance. There's no consequence to John Mozeliak continuing to do things when it comes to the Major League roster. Because all the stuff that's going to make this team win long term, year after year after year, in future years, all that work is being done by other people. Now, I don't know if it's actually going to play out that way, and I think I'd be naive to say that John Mozeliak's going to have no voice in everything that's going on. But I do think that I don't think it makes sense logically to say, yes, I'll accept all of the, I will accept lack of success at the major league level with stuff getting fixed at the minor league and the player development level, but only if John Mozeliak's gone, where John Mozeliak is going to be more hands-on in the things that might have less significance last year, if that makes sense. More of those comments coming up later on. Up next, we talk with Katie Wu from The Athletic. What a great job she did putting this whole thing together. We'll discuss it coming up in just a moment. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. We're getting you ready for Cardinals baseball tonight. Our coverage begins in about an hour. We have spent almost the entire show talking about the report that was published by The Athletic earlier today, written by Katie Wu. Just amazing, fantastic reporting. Going through much of what's happening inside the Cardinals organization, specifically around player development. And from The Athletic, we're very happy to welcome on the program Katie Wu right now. Katie, thanks for taking some time, and I'm sure what's been a very busy day for you. Let's get Katie on real quick. Hold on. Katie, are you there?
Oh, there you are. Right, can you hear me okay?
Yep, I got you. Thanks for coming on to the program. What's been the reaction to this from today?
No, thanks for having me. Yeah, I think, you know what, if you really break down the Cardinals and where they've been heading over the last, you know, definitely 2 years, but obviously dating much further back, I would hope fans find this as somewhat of a reprieve. Look, it's never easy to accept your organization probably won't be competitive for a few couple of seasons, but I think the Cardinals fan base in general is pretty smart. And I think what they want is a plan, and they want the organization to be transparent about the plan. And I think if you give this passionate fan base that, they'll respond accordingly. So I think it's been revealing to kind of see that kind of response. It's certainly not a direction the organization wanted to do, but it's the direction the organization felt like they had to move in.
You spoke with people anonymously, and they were able to speak very openly with you. There are many quotes in your story that are quite honestly kind of damning about the way things have gone. As you were having those conversations, were you at all surprised with what you were hearing?
A little bit, just because it's always surprising when you're going to see something with that much candor and that much honesty within any kind of organization. What was surprising to me was that it was, you know, it's certainly not solely on player development, but the Cardinals for so long have been, you know, renowned for their homegrown infrastructure and how they like readily produce caliber baseball players from their own system. And that they were having such trouble doing so, I thought it was really alarming. Because, again, you think about the St. Louis Cardinals, and you think about their ability to churn out guys continuously and always having a sound roster of their own growing. I mean, you look at someone like Brendan Donovan, who I think is the example of when the Cardinals get it right. They used to have 5 or 6 Brendan Donovans that's on the roster at any time. So that's what was most surprising to me, was that an organization built and founded over the last 20 years on having solid player development have lost the way and fallen so far behind.
I thought one of the most interesting revelations was the fact that John Mozeliak essentially has one bucket of money to work with, and he kind of determines on it, are you going to spend this money on the major league roster, or are you going to spend this money on creating infrastructure and having technology and staff members and everything that goes along with player development? And he's sort of been forced to spend it on the major league roster, and that in turn has resulted in falling behind on the other side.
Yeah, it's been a difficult decision for John Mozeliak, and I don't think he's immune to all criticism, but it was a tough choice he had to make. Look, we all have bosses, right? And Mo's boss is Cardinals ownership. It's the DeWitts. And if the DeWitts are only giving their baseball operations a set amount of money. Well, I don't really know if we can blame Mo for doing everything he could to ensure that the team at the big league level was winning. Now, we can go back and forth on if the free agent signings were smart, if the trades panned out. Sure, that I think makes total sense. But I'm not sure we can condemn Mo for not spending on player development when it was so clear that he was going to have to make a choice. And he felt like he needed to make the choice that was going to show up and people would respond the most to, which is the success or lack of success for your big league club. So a difficult decision for Mo to make. Ultimately, it came down to having to make some really tough decisions because he was only operating with a set amount of money.
You know this organization very well, and there's going to be different people who fall into different camps. But generally speaking, do you think there's relief in the organization that this information comes out because it helps prepare the fans and helps fans understand these decisions that are going to be announced at some point in the near future? Or do you think the organization maybe doesn't like everything that you wrote today because of maybe some of those quotes that were somewhat damning?
I don't think relief is the word that the organization is using. I think, you know, they are set to announce these changes and talk about it. And I think as an organization, regardless of what you're announcing, you would like the message to come from within. I know the Cardinals are planning an end-of-year press conference where they do discuss more of these changes in full. But, I mean, let's be honest, this isn't something that brewed overnight. This has been a change years in the making. And the difference is when they were winning at the big league level, they could hide it. When you're losing at the big league level, everything comes under scrutiny. And after missing the postseason for the last 2 years, it was so obvious that it was time for a change. Look, we know John Mozeliak is coming back for 2025. He's going to step down after that, is what he said. Now, for Mo, who cares a lot about this organization, I think it's important for him, and he feels it's important as well, to ensure that he's doing everything he can so that when this transition period comes around, it's in a good place. We don't know who's going to take over. We do know that Chaim Bloom is going to have a more expanded role. Would the organization have liked that probably to come from their own messaging? Sure, but at this point, with so much turmoil, things went down the way that they did because most people in the organization felt like they didn't have a choice.
We're talking with Katie Wu from The Athletic. Hopefully you're a subscriber to The Athletic so you could read the piece that got published earlier today. You mentioned Chaim Bloom, and he's coming on full-time, according to your reporting. Do we know really what that's going to look like and how that's going to possibly impact other people in the front office when you think about the Mike Gerschs and the Randy Flores and just the entire brain trust that is the Cardinals organization?
Well, Mike Gersh is under contract through 2025, and I believe assistant general managers Randy Flores and Moises Rodriguez are as well. What bringing in Chaim Bloom was the organization admitting, hey, we need fresh eyes here. Something that I actually think is commendable about the Cardinals is they are so consistent in what they do. But sometimes when you become consistent and aware of the same patterns, you're not aware of the changes that need to be made. So they brought in Chaim Bloom in 2024, the beginning of the season, to just kind of audit or canvas the player development system. Chaim Bloom has had a successful track record, 16 seasons with the Tampa Bays, turning them into a powerhouse for player development. They wanted Chaim, who's regarded as one of the best in the business in this regard, to kind of see what they were missing. So he came back, gave a full report, and now the Cardinals are looking to bring him on full time to maybe see that overhaul of the player development system. So we know he'll be in charge of hiring the team's new farm director. Longtime farm director Gary LaRocque announced his retirement a couple of weeks ago. And I think the main thing Chaim will do is look to upgrade the department, whether that's adding more positions, adding more staffing, adding more technology, or adding all three, remains to be seen. But it was made very clear to me, at least, that Chaim's first big task in this organization is getting this player development model right.
I'm not breaking any news when I say that Oliver Marmol and John Mozeliak are not overly popular with a large percentage of the Cardinals fan base. And I'm of the belief that this is not an Oliver Marmol problem at all, but that most people don't agree with me on that. We saw the attendance numbers and things like that. Do you get the sense that the Cardinals are at all concerned about running it back next year with Mo and Marmol and what the reaction is going to be from the fan base to that?
It's a very valid question. Mo and Ollie are the faces, especially when things aren't going well with the organization. But I think that's why how this messaging from Mo himself comes, from the organization, on what the future is so important. Like I said, if you give this Cardinals fan base a transparent plan of what's going forward, I think the majority of them will get behind it. Now, I also understand that, you know, while Ollie Marmol had a really solid season in 2022, won the division, that he's also overseen two of the most disappointing seasons in Cardinals history. And we can argue whether that's his fault or not, but I do want to say one thing. this Cardinals team in 2024 has disappointed. But if you think their performance on the field is disappointing, I challenge you to go look at their expected record this season. They have actually won way more games than they were expected to. And I think the Major League staff deserves some credit there, because when you think about the players that have not played well, you're thinking of Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, Contreras has been hurt. They're big three. They didn't have a good Nolan Gorman. They didn't have Jordan Walker all year. This Cardinals coaching staff found a way to still win those tight ball games that should count for something. I know it's probably not the message fans want to hear right now, but it's clear that the organization feels like Ollie is capable of handling the next 2 years, which will continue to be challenging if the team is still investing, you know, or prioritizing their investing in player development over the big league club. So while I get it, I do think that, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing that he's still here.
Is there a scenario where if the messaging is that at the big league level they may take a step back, or maybe a youth movement over the next couple years, that we see some of these veterans who are under contract make their desire known to maybe play elsewhere?
It's valid, and I can't say for sure because I'm not sure if the organization has even had those conversations yet. But you think about, you know, an impending free agent like Paul Goldschmidt. He's 37. He wants to play to win. You think about guys that were either traded here or signed here, Nolan Arenado, Sonny Gray, Wilson Contreras. I mean, Arenado signed an extension to stay here to win. Contreras signed here to win, Sonny to win. So if the organization decides to take a step back and put winning on the back burner, it could very well impact their decisions. We just don't know yet. But that's something I expect to be one of the more pressing questions in the early parts of the offseason, and something that I hope we'll have more answers towards soon.
Everybody should be subscribed to The Athletic if they can financially do it, because we get amazing reporting like you had. If people are interested in an Athletic subscription, what's the way to do it?
You can sign up at theathletic.com/Cardinals, and it should prompt you. It's $1 a month for, I believe, the first 4 months right now, but we do have sales regardless, basically randomly. So always check back, and you can always send me an email or DM me on Twitter if you'd like to subscribe. But no, thanks so much for having me on and promoting the piece. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, Katie. We'll see you back here in St. Louis real soon.
You got it, Polly. Talk to you soon.
All right, very good. Yep, Katie Wu joining us here on the program. Appreciate her taking a few moments with us. I think the thing I'm most interested in, and I'm not looking forward to the conversations. We'll do it. It's my job. We'll do it. I think the thing that I'm most interested in is we get to the press conference, whenever it happens, whether it's Monday, whether it's at some other time. We get to it. We get the messaging. We find out everything that's going to go on. They tell us that Chaim Bloom is going to oversee player development, and he's going to update the Cardinals player development, and they talk all about everything that he did in Tampa and how he's the right guy for it. And I'm going to believe every single word of that. I'm a Chaim Bloom guy. I am excited about the potential opportunity of Chaim Bloom overseeing Cardinals player development. I'd be excited about Chaim Bloom being the next guy once John Mozeliak's done, but that's another topic for another day. So that the messaging's great. The vast majority of Cardinals fans can get on board on that part of it, that they are going to fix player development. They are going to invest in technology. They're going to invest in staffing. They're going to do all the things that you're supposed to do to help develop impact major leaguers. Okay, good. We're all on the same page here. But, oh yeah, by the way, Oliver Marmol's going to be back, and John Mozeliak's going to be back in their current roles. What does that look like? What does that look like for a fan base that would not be excited about that? Are fans going to be able to accept that because the greater good is the other stuff that's going on? Is there going to be more of an understanding that, okay, maybe the issues that have existed on the big league roster aren't so much connected to those individuals, especially Oliver Marmol, and that it's the underlying stuff, the stuff that you can't see? You can't see a pitching lab. You can't see a computer. You can't see a guy in a room with nodes all over his body as he throws a pitch, and they get an idea of his body movements and how he can change that to be better. You can't see that stuff. So that doesn't get you excited because you can't see it. You see John Mozeliak, you see Oliver Marmol. Where does fan excitement in a business where it is still important to put butts in seats, where does fan excitement play in all this? I don't know. That, to me, I'm very intrigued by all of that. We'll continue to discuss this coming up in just a moment. 314-436-7900. That's how you text in. You can tweet at me. We've got a million tweets. We're not going to get to all of them, but we'll continue to go through some of those tweets. We got about 25 minutes left in the program. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We've spent almost the entire show today outside of 10-15 minutes talking about the Chiefs and the Royals a little bit with Blair Kirchhoff, just what's going on in Kansas City. Outside of that, it's been nothing but this report from Katie Wu and The Athletic about where the Cardinals are at. Want to spend some more time going through some of the responses that I got on Twitter earlier today to how you would feel if the Cardinals took it kind of almost intentionally took a step back next year. And look, this has been an underachieving team this year in terms of what was communicated to us at the beginning of the year, right? So when the season gets started, when the offseason's going on next year and they bring in Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn and Sonny Gray, the messaging was that the expectation was that this would be a playoff team this year. That's not happening. Now, they're likely to have a winning record outside of a three-game series sweep at the hands of the San Francisco Giants, a team that's also eliminated from playoff contention. Not that that won't happen. And the Giants are also trying to play to be above 500. They would have to, they've got 80 losses right now. So if they want to be an above 500 team this year, they would have to sweep the series. So there's no guarantee that the Cardinals are going to win at least one, but they are likely to win at least one, and then they will have a winning record this year. So that's nice, I guess. It's good to avoid the back-to-back losing seasons. It's good to see the improvement from last year to this year, I guess. You know, last year was pretty terrible with them winning 71 games, and now they are sitting on how many wins are they at? They're at 81 right now, so they're at plus 10 so far. Those are good things, but they're not great things. The bottom line is the team still isn't in the playoffs. So if they were to take another step back next year and not just and communicate with the fan base, look, we gotta fix the system. We gotta fix player development. We gotta fix all these things. And it might take a year or two for us to get back rolling at the big league level. Would you be okay with that? Matthew tweets in and says there has to be a plan to play the youth. And with the money saved to go out and get top free agents in year two or three to plug the gaps, it's easy to go back to what they're currently doing. I think this organization has always shown the ability to, when they were producing high-end talent that was helping them win at the highest level, deep runs in the playoffs, getting to the World Series, getting to the League Championship Series, all those things. I feel like that was the MO, that much of the roster was homegrown and they were getting contributions, but they were always willing, whether it was free agency in the offseason or whether it was taking on salary at the trade deadline, they were always willing to supplement. So I would assume that they would, if they are back to competing at a high level, that would definitely be part of it. Josh tweets in, says, the thing with letting the kids play is everyone loves it until they slump. Then it's, what is this team doing? We are an unserious franchise. Boo. I'm all for letting the kids play. See what you have and we need to develop. Says, I don't know about trading someone like Nolan Arenado because the Cardinals need someone to anchor the team and be a mentor for the kids. He might not want to hang around, though. And if he doesn't want to be around for this year, then let him choose his spot and go. He's earned that right for us. Start the young prospects and see where the Cardinals need to develop. If we have a season like the Chicago White Sox, I'm still okay with it because we have a great crop of kids getting valuable playing time with zero pressure to perform, go get better, and gel as a team. I think the first part of what that texter said is correct, and that in theory that sounds nice. And even if you are understanding of what might be going on in the background that's going to help produce more wins in future years, I think when you're sitting there watching it, it's going to be tough. And that's where I don't, like, I'm not crying for anybody in the Cardinals organization. Don't take it that way. But where I don't envy them is they're still a business. They're still an entertainment property. They still rely on getting people into Busch Stadium, sitting in seats, buying beer, buying hot dogs, having a good night, buying a hat, and getting on out of here. Look, it impacts our business. We're the radio rights holder. We want the team to be very compelling because more people are listening to the game. Like, people always listen to the games, but it's better. Things are better. Things are better. I'm not breaking any news when I tell you that KMOX is in business with the Cardinals. Obviously, we are. We're the radio rights holder. We have a vested interest in them playing well. We have a vested interest in them being compelling. The more compelling the team is, the more people that are listening, the better it is for everything. The good folks over at Bally Sports Midwest would tell you the exact same thing. The people at the Post-Dispatch and the people at the Athletic would tell you the same thing. Now, that's a little bit different because you might get some, when things are going really bad, you're going to get some eyes as well. But when everybody's excited about the team, let's go pick up the newspaper. Let's have a subscription to STL Today. Let's have a subscription to The Athletic because I want to read about my team every day. Well, the team stinks and you don't know how you're going to pay your bills because groceries are 9 million times more expensive now than they were 5 years ago. And you're starting to do the thing of what am I going to drop? Well, do I really need the subscription to STL Today? I'm not reading that much about the Cardinals these days. Do I really need my cable subscription? I'm not watching as many games these days. Maybe you're somebody who's listening to this show right now and you're not in St. Louis. Do I really need my SiriusXM subscription anymore? I'm not really listening to that many games on theirs. Do I need my MLB TV or my MLB at Bat subscription anymore? I'm not. Like that. So it's all business. It comes back to money. And them being compelling is important for everybody. And that's going to be the thing that's going to be tough to work through on this if the Cardinals do tell us that it's going to look a little bit different. Now, maybe the messaging isn't going to be that. We don't know for sure. We don't know. Maybe the messaging is going to be, we know that we can do better in player development. We know that we have to take X amount of resources and put it to player development. We need to get this amount of technology and it's going to cost this many millions of dollars. We know that we need to hire 10 more roving minor league instructors and it's going to cost this hundreds of thousands of dollars. We know that the staffs for both the major league coaching staff and the minor league coaching staff needs to be better, and we're going to throw this money. We know that our analytics department needs to be better. We're going to go hire more people, and we're going to throw this amount of money at them. And oh yeah, by the way, we feel like we've got a good core on our major league roster, and we still think we're just a few pieces away from being able to compete, and we're going to go do that too. Maybe that happens. I don't know. That's not, if you read Katie's story today, that doesn't seem like what's likely to happen, but could that happen? I guess that could happen. And then you can still kind of, because I've talked a lot about this. I talked about how Sonny Gray and Kyle Gibson, not really Sonny Gray, take him out of this. I talked about how Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn were Band-Aids, that this was an organization that was at a crossroads. I said this a year ago or 10 months ago, whenever those signings were. These were Band-Aids. That this was an organization that was figuring out what they needed to do to update player development, scouting, all that sort of stuff, and that eventually the machine would start rolling again, but it was going to take some time. So when it's going to take some time, if you want to continue to win at the major league level, what do? Well, you sign Lance Lynn. You sign Kyle Gibson. Did it work? I don't know. I mean, they're not in the playoffs, so I guess no. Kyle Gibson was fine. Lance Lynn was fine. I think their seasons were a little bit better than if 10 years from now, if we're talking about the 2024 Cardinals, and I tell you, yeah, remember that year that they brought in Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson? I bet you go, yeah, those guys didn't really have that great of seasons. But that's going to be kind of the legacy of those guys. And for this year, you know, Lynn obviously has a legacy much deeper than that with the Cardinals. Their numbers aren't terrible. But could have you gotten similar numbers from Michael McGreevy? Could have gotten similar numbers from Gordon Graceffo and not spent that money? Maybe. And that's one of the things I do want to see this organization do. I want to let them see. Let's get to Jupiter next year and Gordon Graceffo, Michael McGreevy have an opportunity to make the team as a starting pitcher. Let's see that happen. And these guys have been high-level, top-level prospects. Give them all the tools that they need to be the best version of themselves, and then give them the opportunity. And if you start doing that more and more, you're going to start producing more impact major leaguers. But the part of that that's missing right now is the tools to allow these guys to be the best version of themselves. One last break. We'll come back and wrap up this edition of Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a few minutes left in the program. This has been an interesting conversation that we've had today. Thanks for all the participation. Folks on Twitter tweeting at me. I got to very few of the tweets. I was planning on getting to many, many more, and I didn't, and that's a bad job by me. So thanks for being involved with it nonetheless. Couple texts before we get out of here. From the 314, speaking to me, you sound like a spoiled brat. I don't want young kids steering the ship. We're here. Win now for the big club. So we don't want a youth movement, but yes, we should be happy for a winning season. Yes, it's not the playoffs, but it's not as bad as you say. You young fans don't live or remember about the crap in the 70s and early 90s. I don't remember much. I mean, I know the history of the organization, and it wasn't great in the 70s. I certainly was around in the 90s for sure when I was growing up. With all due respect to this texter, and I don't know how I sound like a spoiled brat, but that's fine. With all due respect to the texter, what I don't think you understand is that for this team to get back to a point where they can contend for deep playoff runs annually, and there are organizations that do that, they have to fix player development. They have to have young players getting to the big leagues ready to impact things in a big way. And that's not happening right now. That's not even an arguable point. That's not happening now. For every Mason Wynn, there's a bunch of other guys that aren't here yet. And especially from a pitching standpoint, you're just not getting it. So yeah, could you go do what you did this offseason again next year and maybe you sneak into the playoffs, maybe you don't? You bring in a Kyle Gibson, Lance Lynn type guys and do that sort of thing and you have a season very similar to this one? Yeah, you could do that. And there's going to be people out there that do not want to see this team take a step back at the major league level to buy some time for the player development system to start producing high-end talent again. Those people are going to exist, and this person is one of them. Absolutely, they are. They are going to exist. I would argue they're incorrect. I would argue that if it takes a year or two to get things rolling again, it's worth it. And I hope they can compete at the major league level. Like this team is a lucky week and a lucky week here or there away from being in the playoffs. Like they weren't that far out. And we feel like it was a very unsuccessful season. This team wasn't that far from being a playoff team. All right, that is it. There was more I wanted to get to. We have literally run out of time, which is a bummer for tonight. We will continue the conversation throughout the week next week. But up next, Cardinals baseball after the 8 o'clock news here on KMOX.